I would love us to clap as we welcome our preacher. Yes, you're most welcome, Brother William. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I'd like to welcome my sister. She didn't say where she's coming from, but she's from that country that eliminated DRC from the Nations Cup. Côte d'Ivoire. Anyway, it's good to be in the presence of God. God is good. All the time, God is good, and that is his nature. Let us pray. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. In living echoes of thy tone, as thou hast sought, so let me speak. That erring children lost and lone. Lord, I inquire of your Holy Spirit this moment, Lord, to come and fill me up from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Speak, Lord. Because your servants are listening. This I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we all stand as to reverence the reading of God's holy word? Please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 1. I am reading from the New International Version of the Bible, and I pray whichever translation you have that you may be able to follow along. Acts chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. When they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, that separated and came and rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Please drop down to verse 12. Verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Amen. For the time allocated, I like to teach, speak, and preach on the subject, the signs of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated in the presence of God. The signs of the Holy Spirit. If you were here last week, Pastor David gave an expose on Ascension Day, which is 40 days after Easter, plus an additional 10 days from Ascension, which we hear today, which is 50 days from the resurrection, which we celebrate and all universally known throughout the world as Pentecost Sunday. Amen? Pentecost Sunday, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which symbolizes the number 50. 50th day after the resurrection, where God promised to send the Holy Spirit to the disciples so that they could not forget all the teachings that Jesus had already taught them. In John 14, Jesus addressed his disciples when he told them that he was leaving. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, because I go to a place to prepare for you that where I am, you may be also." And on the 26th verse, there he addressed them that God will send this comforter that will guide them and teach them while he is gone. In Mark 3:38, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Last week I was in the service where we were asked, what is the Holy Spirit? And I remember one of the answers was, that's the third person of the Trinity. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and said, no one should blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. If you commit any sin, it can be forgiven. But if you commit a sin against the Holy Spirit, you are guilty of eternal damnation. So it tells us somehow that the Holy Spirit is very important in our Christian life. Amen? Now, this is not the first time that we've heard about the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit existed, but the difference is it rested only on humans temporarily. Let's say that together. Temporarily. Now, if we see in the Old Testament that King Saul had the Holy Spirit in him, but whenever he disobeyed, the Holy Spirit will depart from him. We see in Judges 16, Samson, whenever he required the strength, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. But when Samson disobeyed, the Holy Spirit departed from him. We see David, who prayed the prayer of Psalm 51. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because whenever we disobey, the Holy Spirit leaves. Because it's not a temporary, it's not a permanent thing. And the priest, the high priest, who went into the temple, he was the only one who could go in the temple behind the veil. Now, behind the veil, that's where the Ark of Covenant was kept. And within the Ark of Covenant, they believe that's the presence of God, and there dwells the Holy Spirit. So whenever the high priest will go into the holies of holies, they used to tie a rope around his waist. And whenever he goes in, and whenever they feel that he's been there too long, they will drag him out. Because no one could be able to dwell within the Holy Spirit. But all that changed when Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible tells us that when Jesus gave up the ghost, there was an earthquake. And the earthquake and the strong wind that went into the temple and tore the veil from top to bottom by the power of God, and the Holy Spirit came out. And now it has to dwell on us who call on his name eternally. Amen? That's the reason why the Holy Spirit now, it can no longer dwell on us temporarily, but it can be on us permanently as long as we call upon the name of God. Amen? So here they are in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem and pray and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came with some fire and some wind, and it rested on all of them, and they began to speak in foreign languages. Amen? So the question you want to ask yourself, that what are the signs that someone has the Holy Spirit? What are the signs that we look at and say that this is the Holy Spirit? What are the signs that we look at and say the Holy Spirit is present in this place? Amen? Now, oftentimes, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we limit the Holy Spirit to individual expressions, like people talking in tongues, people performing miracles, individual expression. But the first sign that the Holy Spirit teaches us in Acts chapter 2 is that the Holy Spirit embodies inclusivity. Let's say that together. It's there on the screen. The Holy Spirit embodies inclusivity as a body together. Now watch the text again. That this text says they were all in the same room, and the Holy Spirit came and filled the whole room, and it rested on everybody that was present inside the room. The Holy Spirit came, it filled the whole church, and it rested on every single individual that is present in the room. And every single individual starts speaking in a foreign language. This verse teaches us is that the Holy Spirit does not discriminate. Oh no, I think that should have got an amen to that. The Holy Spirit does not discriminate. Now, they were speaking in different tongues, and the Bible says the people who were outside, they heard them and said, what is going on? And some people say, these men are drunk. And Peter had to address the crowd. Now, I like Peter. I can resonate with Peter. Peter said, no, these men are not drunk. It's too early. It's too early to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What Peter had to explain is, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that God was going to fulfill his promise by pouring out his spirit, watch this, to all mankind and to their sons and to their daughters. And they will prophesy. Old men would dream dreams. Young men would see vision. And even male and female servants would have the Holy Spirit poured out on them. What we are seeing is when the Holy Spirit come, it did not put the women in one side and put the men in one side. When the Holy Spirit came, it did not say, okay, let me bless the men first, and then I'll come back and bless the women. When the Holy Spirit came, it did not separate any one of us. Because the Holy Spirit embodies inclusivity, that as long as we are together as a body of Christ, we are all equal. Amen? As long as together we are the body of Christ, we are all equal. There's no discrimination between a man that you have a better blessing and you have a better blessing. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord is equal in the presence of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit embodies inclusivity, that it empowers every human to serve. It empowers every human being to hold responsibility in the church. It empowers every human being to preach the word of God, because the Holy Spirit does not discriminate. So how is it that we claim to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and yet we marginalize? One of the saddest things I've had in this church, I'm sorry, but it's one lady came here and she was preaching and said they are being marginalized. That, my friend, is not what the Holy Spirit is about. That in the presence of God, we are all equal. Amen to that. Even if you don't say amen, I'll answer amen to myself. In the Spirit of God, we are all equal. The first sign of the Holy Spirit is that it creates a space for inclusivity and equal opportunity. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord is eligible to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit constructs a protective space where everybody should be void of discrimination. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit came, it embodies inclusivity. And number two, it creates unity in diversity. It creates unity in diversity. Now watch this. The Spirit came and poured on each one of them, and they all started speaking different languages. But watch this. None of them left the room. They were all speaking different languages, but they all stayed and worshiped together. Okay, you've got it. They were all speaking different languages, and none of them said, because you speak French, I'm speaking English, we shouldn't worship together. No. The Holy Spirit came, and they all spoke different languages, and they all worshiped God together. Because the second part of the sign of the Holy Spirit, that even though we are different, even though we speak different languages, we are all bound by the blood of Jesus. Our job as Christians is to create an avenue, just like what this church does. Like, that's why I like this international. Because we all come from different languages. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different spheres. But believe you me, as long as you profess the name of Jesus, just your Lord and your Master, as the risen Christ, we are all one under the umbrella of Christ, because we all go out and profess the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, in my family, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. My mother, my father, they were Pentecostals. My mother was Pentecostal, my father was Pentecostal. But all the kids, we went different. But believe you me, you should sit and see me and my dad arguing about doctrines and principles. But at the end of the day, we all worship together. That's what the Holy Spirit should be about. That not because you support that candidate and I support that candidate, it means we must be different. Because when we allow a difference to create a dysfunction, it leads to division, and then we blame the Holy Spirit. Say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit said I should go form my own church. The Holy Spirit said I shouldn't come to this church because we don't feel the Holy Spirit that much. So some people don't come to this church. They find to go to that church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the mistake we make is we restrict the Holy Spirit to charismatic worship. Laying of hands, speaking of tongues, men passing out to the altar, men running around, they say they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we restrict the Holy Spirit as part of the charismatic worship. And that's why some people look and say, if I receive the Holy Spirit and end up like that, no, I don't want that Holy Spirit. But believe you me, man, last month, we were treated by the legal representation of this church. And they show us, the international, what this church is about. And believe you me, who we were there, the internationals, we were blown away. When we see that the work this church is doing, we were blown away. This church was established in 1957. And for all these years, they've established 19 ecclesiastical missions, 482 parishes, built 159 health institutions. They've constructed 831 schools for children, men and women, and they're continuously feeding young children and the aged. Beloved, if that ain't the sign of the Holy Spirit, then you are missing the work of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do, it's a sign that it's present because you keep pushing the work of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit embodies diversity. It embodies diversity, it embodies inclusivity, and it creates the unity in the midst of diversity. Not because we speak different languages means we are different. Amen? And lastly, the Holy Spirit not only embodies inclusivity, the Holy Spirit not only creates unity in the midst of diversity, but the Holy Spirit enables us to share the gospel to everyone. The Holy Spirit embodies us, it enables us to share the gospel to everyone. Now, as I mentioned about charismatic worship, what we see in Acts chapter 2 is different from what we see in charismatic churches, where people speak, watch this, in an unknown tongue called glossolalia. Let us say that slowly. Glossolalia. Glossolalia. When you see people speaking in an unknown tongue, it's called glossolalia. So I always say that if you can't impress your people at work with your professionalism, dazzle them with some new intellect. So whenever you're walking, passing by a charismatic church and you hear them speaking in that language, you can just smile and say, that's glossolalia. Glossolalia. It's the art of speaking in an unknown tongue. But the difference in Acts chapter 2 is, when the Holy Spirit rested on them, the Bible says they spoke in languages that other people could understand. That's the difference. So they spoke in a known tongue. Now, the people who heard them made a very important remark. Said, aren't these Galileans? Aren't these people Galileans? Now, you might not understand this because you're not from Galilee. But in the gospel, we know when Nathanael said, when Jesus was coming from Nazareth, he said, is anything good that comes out of Nazareth? Jesus was from Nazareth. Nazareth is from Galilee. Nazareth is in Galilee. And Nazareth is like the hood. It's filled with poverty and they are illiterate people. So these are one of the reasons why the Jews rejected Jesus, because they never believed that the Messiah come from a place like that. So when the people said, aren't these Galileans, what they are actually saying, they are too ignorant to speak like that. But the Holy Spirit teaches us that you don't need a university degree to tell your testimony about the goodness of God. You don't need to go to school to tell your neighbor that what God did for you. That you can stand up here and can speak in any language that God is good all the time, that God has delivered you, that God has saved you, that God has answered your prayers, that you can testify all the days of your life, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 19 that there is no speech, no language where the voice of God is not heard. Amen. That the Holy Spirit enables us to share the gospel to everybody we meet. So when the people were speaking in different languages, they were testifying on the goodness of God all over the world, because God gave them the permission that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be a witness that you should spread the gospel to all Judea and all over the world. So in every single language that is present in this world, the gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached, because that's what we are charged to do as the Great Commission, to go out into the world and preach the good news and teach the good news and speak the gospel, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. So you don't need to have a PhD in theology to teach about God. You don't need anything. As long as the Holy Spirit comes on you, it empowers you to spread the good news. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We can't resist the Holy Spirit, because in every walk of our step in God, everywhere we move, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us. Jesus said, I go, but I'm going to send somebody that's going to help you. It's like the triangle, the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't go to God without going through Christ. And to reach to Christ, you need the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen? So do not be Holy Spirit resistant. The Holy Spirit is not limited to charismatic worship. The Holy Spirit is for every nation, man, woman, and human. Man, women, and children, that who call upon the name of God, they shall receive the Holy Spirit, and it shall propagate and propel them through the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your power. We thank you this morning because 50 days after you resurrected, you sent your Holy Spirit and he came and rested on us so that we can able to reach out to those who need to hear about the good news of the kingdom. As we leave this place, we pray that the Holy Spirit imbibe in us so that we can go forward and preach and teach about the good news. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us, Lord, to win more souls for the kingdom, so together we will receive and hear that word, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my eternal rest. I pray, Lord, that you bless us as we go. Pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit lead us, that these words will bear fruit in our hearts. In the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all God's children say amen.
Hallelujah.